My lips.
And my mouth shall proclaim your praise.
Let me see. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Will you pray with me? God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father, we marvel at the mysteries of faith and revelation by which we are one with the ancient Hebrew psalmist in knowing that the Lord is God. We thank you for that oneness and for the richness and beauty that it brings to our worship. We gladly join the psalmist, O Lord, in praising and giving thanks for your goodness, your steadfast love, and your faithfulness. How much more do we have reason to know of these because you have shown yourself to us in Jesus Christ? We rejoice and thank you for our salvation in him, your Son, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I shall begin with the third verse of the first chapter, rather than the first, of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. For he has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Who knows how soon to punctuate silent reflection. But we have a schedule to keep. Christian unity is a major New Testament theme. The writers bear witness to the salvation experience in Christ as a unifying experience. Unifying the believer with Christ and with other believers. This unity is of cosmic significance, as God's purpose in Christ is seen as a plan to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. Christian unity is thus continuous with and a consummation of the unity of God's entire creation, declared repeatedly by the Old Testament prophets and psalmists. The unity, which is an essential characteristic of the salvation experience, was of concern to Jesus as he closed out his earthly ministry. In words we shall repeat later in the service, John tells us that Jesus prayed for unity among his followers, specifically those who would follow after the disciples who were with him at that time. Unity among his followers in order that the world might believe in him. See John 17, 20 following. Jesus saw the importance of unity among believers to the bearing of a true witness to him. The epistles make it abundantly clear that the early church struggled to manifest its unity in Christ. In no other way could it bear witness to God in Christ, having already reconciled the world to himself. In no other way could it be the church, the body of Christ, the household of God. Some of the most beautiful images of and impassioned appeals for living in Christ have to do with the manifesting of unity. In the Philippian passage read earlier, for example, Paul says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation, that is koinonia, in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." I cannot escape the conclusion that it is God's will that his church be one body in Christ, and that this unity must be visibly expressed if Christians are to bear the most effective witness of God's love for the world, if the church is to be instrumental in uniting all things in Christ. The fact is that the disunity of the church is far more apparent to the world than is its unity. Some witness to Christ obviously has been born in spite of this disunity. But think of what might have been accomplished through the centuries had we been spared the fragmentation of the body of Christ. Given the history of the church, there is no easy way out of our fragmented state. It is a sinful state, however, if we accept the New Testament word that God wills Christian unity. My concern is that we Southern Baptists who claim the New Testament as our guide in matters of faith and practice have so little recognized that we need to work for a way out of our sinful state. Denominations as we have them may be necessary for now, but a faithful following of the New Testament demands that we teach our people that denominations are not in God's perfect will, that we not equate denominational success with healthy growth of the body of Christ, and that we work to bring about Christian unity. As it is, even this week of prayer for Christian unity is virtually unknown among Southern Baptists. You will search in vain to find it on the denominational calendar. Those denominations that have been in the mainstream of cooperative Christianity have not found it easy, and all efforts have not been strikingly successful. But in such movements as the National Council of Churches and the World Council of Churches, there has often been a strong witness in the lowering of barriers between Christians and in demonstrating faith that shared devotion to Jesus Christ might bring all closer to the truth. Faith has overcome to some degree fears that denominational distinctives and effectiveness would be lost. Southern Baptists have maintained that the structure of the SBC would not permit our participation in these councils. Even the strongly conservative W.A. Criswell admitted a few years ago in an interview that this is simply an excuse. And who am I to argue with Criswell? In his timely and excellent convocation address last week, Professor Steele called for a reexamination of the relationship of Southern Baptists to worldwide Christianity. He pointed out that our present isolationist stance as a convention should not be seen as the historic Baptist position. He also suggested that local cooperation across denominational lines might be the best way open to most Southern Baptists for demonstrating Christian unity. I certainly agree with this, and it is at that point that I feel the most personal guilt for my participation in the sin of disunity. This is not a new concern for me, that is, the disunity of the body of Christ, but I have not use my opportunities to effect some meaningful cooperation at the local level. And I must confess that I have seldom prayed purposefully for Christian unity. The important thing would seem to be that we humble ourselves and truly seek the mind of Christ, as Paul has stated in his Philippian letter. It is in that spirit that I ask you to join me in the prayers that soon follow. I trust that we may approach this with a sense of oneness as is expressed in hymn number 257, which we shall sing now. Seated. In the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us confess our sins against unity. For the little importance we have given this word of Jesus recorded by John, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice. So there shall be one flock, one shepherd. For our controversies, sometimes filled with narrow-mindedness and exaggeration, for our hard hearts and quick judgments,
we beseech you, forgive us, O Lord.
For all the pride and self-sufficiency we have shown to others, for the weakening of our witness by failing to heed the prayer of Jesus, that they may be one even as we are one, that they may become perfectly one so that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them even as thou hast loved me. O God, we pray that you will help us transform our confessions into genuine repentance, that we thus may know the joy and peace of your forgiveness, even as we know you will rejoice in our obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, will you affirm with me? I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Mindful of our own needs and the needs of all persons, we turn in faith and hope to you, O Lord. Help us now truly to pray in Jesus' name. May we, in the depths of our beings, accept the fact of your grace, that we are loved and forgiven by you, that we are reconciled to you, that in Christ we are set free to love you and our fellow man. May the gift of freedom in Christ truly release us from the frantic self-protection that blinds us to reality and shackles us in relationships, both as individuals and as churches. Make us genuinely humble, having a realistic awareness of both the frailties and the gifts of our humanity.
Lord, hear our prayer.
In our commitment to Jesus Christ, deliver us from uncritical allegiance to any person, institution, or system, and thus enable us to follow you in working to eliminate inequity and injustice wherever they exist in our society. Lord, hear our prayer. Let Christian fellowship everywhere consist in the breaking down of barriers of mistrust and in the development of mutual caring and mutual service. Lord, hear our prayer. Beyond our ignorances, our prejudices, and our traditional enmities, unite us, O Lord. Beyond our intellectual, spiritual, and organizational barriers,
unite us, O Lord.
Beyond the barriers of language, race, and nation,
unite us, O Lord.
Amen. We praise you, O God, for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who speaks to us and renews our energy to work for the unity of all persons. May we use the gifts of the Spirit to bring all mankind to the realization that you are our Father, that your Son, Jesus, is Lord of all the universe. We accept anew our calling, make visible the unity of the body of Christ. We commit ourselves to serve one another in love,
to the glory of God.
Each day we will strengthen our efforts to bring about common prayer, common worship, and common action in your church. Come, Holy Spirit, help us in this commitment. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the God of steadfast love and encouragement grant us to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together we may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.